Our next and final presenter will be Jackie Lawler. Jackie graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology from Cedar Crest College and a Master's of Public Health and Epidemiology from the University of Albany School of Public Health. She works for the Orange County Department of Health as an epidemiologist, where she is responsible for the preparation and analysis of epidemiological and statistical reports, morbidity reports, and community health assessments. Jackie also develops, implements, and coordinates programs related to surveillance, investigation of communicable diseases, and program evaluation with a community health outreach division. Her interests include infectious diseases, obesity prevention, nutrition, and increasing physical activity in school-aged children. It's my pleasure to present Jackie Lawler.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll lower this down. Can everybody hear me in the back? Fantastic. Today I want to present a project that was done on the local level. As what we all like to say is that all politics happen on the local level. So I think it's a really good transition, actually, from Maya's presentation, from all of the policies on the federal level to what we see on the ground level. So before we begin, I just want to have announced that I have no relationships to this close. And here's kind of the outline of where we're going to be going today. So Healthy Orange is basically an organization within the Community Health Outreach Division within the County Health Department. And basically it was developed in order to tackle chronic diseases. And basically it focuses primarily on improving the nutrition of our residents, promoting a tobacco-free lifestyle, and increasing physical activity. And the little guy you see on the top right-hand corner, that's our mascot, that's our Healthy Orange mascot. So the county is constantly looking for, as I'm sure all of you are, looking for money, and we try to fund programs not only for the county, but specifically for areas of need. And when we came across this Strategic Alliance for Health grant by the CDC, it really seemed to be in line with what we were doing with Healthy Orange, so it seemed really natural to apply for funding. And the Strategic Alliance for Health grant comes out of the CDC's Healthy Communities program. And what they're looking to do is try to create sustainable change through policy, environmental, and systems change, and build local capacity by really tackling the issues that are really central to chronic disease, and the ones that I've already listed for our goals are also here in the Healthy Communities program. Again, physical activity, nutrition promotion, reducing tobacco use and exposure, and again, limiting health disparities. The funding was for 5 years, and it focused on a number of sectors, but just today I'm going to focus on only the schools and actually only one program that we did with the school. So the funding was granted for Middletown, New York. It's about an hour north of New York City and not underwater, so I'm very excited about that. It's a suburban population, but it has urban and suburban qualities. It actually has a very dense Hispanic population. It's higher than any other community in our county, as well as having the highest amount of students who are eligible for free and reduced lunch. It fluctuates anywhere between 70 and 73% each year. We really haven't seen much variation. And it's a very large school district as well. So in order to create a healthier Middletown, we really needed to do a needs assessment. What policy systems and environmental changes were already in place? And so basically members of Healthy Orange, as well as leaders in the community, in the schools, and the principal, the director of nursing, the family and consumer sciences teacher, the food service director, people got together to develop the work on the change tool, kind of see where we were, what was in place, what needed to be in place, where were we lacking, really try to help prioritize what they needed to do and the action steps from there. So what did we find? So after completing the change tool, in addition to doing surveys and talking to faculty and staff, we really identified a need and desire for a farm-to-school-like program, something that's going to increase the fruit and vegetable consumption of the students. And after completing the change tool, the staff actually rated themselves only average in terms of healthy food preparation and distribution in the school district. And like I had mentioned earlier, you have over 70% of these students who are relying on the school to provide their food. So we thought this was a really good opportunity to increase their fruit and vegetable consumption. And in a general note, about 30% of our county residents report that they have eating fruits and vegetables 5 times a day, and so that's really low. So we really wanted to tackle some of those issues by creating a farm-to-school program. And, you know, just for any of you who aren't familiar with the farm-to-school program, it connects students with local farmers. The goal is to improve student nutrition, to introduce fruits and vegetables that they might have not already had before, and provide kind of an opportunity for education as well. And research has shown that it has increased fruit and vegetable consumption, again, one of our main goals of the project, and, you know, trying to support local farmers and our economy as well. So talking about some of the planning and development, we had a number of goals going in, and I mentioned a few already. Again, increasing the fresh produce, both fruits and vegetables, for the students. We really wanted to help support the local farmers and then in turn support the local economy as well, and kind of teach students the positive effects of what eating local can be. So in order to get started, Healthy Orange contacted some of their existing partnerships. Since they've been around since 2006, we work with 30, 35 organizations within the county that are already trying to achieve some of these goals. So it seemed natural to draw on these partnerships to get some of these ideas and help us form the Strategic Alliance for Health Coalition. And we also wanted to engage and identify some of the stakeholders, again, the food service director and the parents and staff and students who were going to be on the receiving ends of some of these changes. There we go. So from there, it was really important to create an action plan and to develop roles and set a timeline and set objectives for everything. We used the SMART criteria. Again, our funding was from CDC, so it's really important to use those buzzwords. SMART, for some of you that don't know, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. So one of the examples would be that we wanted to implement one salad bar in the high school by a certain date. So in our case, it was April of 2010. And from there, it's really important to delineate the responsibilities. No one person can do everything, but the food service director really played an essential role in getting the ball rolling. She gained approval from the superintendent and the school board, and as many of you know, if you're working with schools, that's essential before you go anywhere. And one of the things that the school had pointed out to us was that they really had, to keep this going, and again, to keep the whole goal is to be sustainable and create behavior change, was to really note the annual activities to keep the program going. So for example, they knew that they needed to get the bids from the farmers in the spring for the following fall. Again, since they're a school district, they're working throughout the summer, but that had to take place at those intervals. And I think one of the another key part of it was holding coalition meetings periodically. This isn't going to happen in a week. Nothing in public health does. And so it's really important to engage your coalition members, give them updates, make sure that you're keeping on your timeline that you had set in the beginning, and really try to invigorate them at these meetings to keep going. So I can't go over, obviously, every single thing that we did with the program. You'd probably be bored anyway. So what we did was we developed an implementation guide. And what it does is it's, 35 or 40 pages, and I'll give you the link to it towards the end, that really helps a school district, community members, parents who might be interested in a farm-to-school program look at exactly what we did and some of the barriers, really kind of helpful. And so what did we have after all of this? We actually had a trifecta of policy, environmental, and systems change, which was our goal to begin with. So in addition to the salad bar that we wanted to put into Middletown High School, they also had two additional salad bars put into each of the middle schools as well. And what we found is when students got to choose what they wanted in their salad, they went from only purchasing about 5 salads per day in the district, those pre-made salads, to over 100 per day throughout the district. They just want to choose what they're eating, and that's a really important part, a lesson that we learned. And so in addition to that local produce that's being used in the salad bars, it was also used in all of the school meals. So this school district has 7 schools in it, and all of the local produce was used in all of their meals that were distributed to everybody. And to go along with that, the educational program in the family consumer sciences classes was key. The teacher is actually also a culinary chef. And right near Middletown, New York, is the Culinary Institute of America, which is about 45 minutes. So she graduated from there and really had a passion about this. So she was teaching students at the same time how to take homegrown vegetables and make them into a family meal. And these are just a couple pictures of some of the salad bars that were in Middletown High School. So I just want to go over some of the successful strategies that we had and maybe also some of the barriers that we ran across. I think one of the keys was to collaborate with the stakeholders. For example, we had one agricultural coalition who was able to provide a list of farmers to the school, because sometimes the school's really excited about doing all of this, but they don't know where to start. So that partnership that we already had in Healthy Orange was able to help the school get the school rolling. In addition to that, the food service director formulated a policy change. So even if she retired, which she did about a year ago, and if there was any staff turnover, those policies were still there regardless of personnel changes, that they were going to obtain bids from the farmers every year. And program evaluation is really key. It's essential when you're throughout the program. They really tried to get some student feedback throughout the program to really see what works, what doesn't work, because these are their consumers and food service is really their business. And so it was important for them to engage them as well. So they did program evaluation throughout a number of things. So they tracked the sale of the produce through the point of sale system. That's how we figured out about the salads. Again, the focus groups with the students and the staff members. And internally, they reviewed the budget to ensure financial stability with her staff. So again, some of the barriers. As some of you might know, we have pretty harsh winters in New York. So in order to obtain all of our fruits and vegetables for the needs of the school, it's going to be impossible. So the food service director really realized her limitations in that of 4 months of frozen ground. It's not going to happen all the time, but really just purchase the fruits and vegetables that are in season. And one of the other interesting issues that came up were the storage capabilities. So the food service director was used to getting all of these small deliveries every single day from the distribution, but when she went to go get the stuff from the farmers, they really didn't have the ability to do that. They wanted to do one big drop-off per week. So what she did was basically change staffing schedules around to accommodate that and to accommodate the local farmers. And ideally, you know, it sounds like this fantastic program and everything worked, but that's never really how it happens in real life. Some things just aren't going to work. So what she looked at periodically was the inventory. What was selling, what wasn't. Again, meeting with staff and students to try to gain a perspective about what was really going on. And that really helps with sustainability and engaging the people who are, again, your consumers. This is her business. So some of the lessons that we learned: in New York, there is no formal bidding process to purchase local produce, which is huge for the schools. This removes a barrier for them, and it makes it a lot easier. And they actually found that most of the farmers were competitively priced or even cheaper than some of their distributors. So that was a real bonus for her. And the program can really be easily implemented and readily accepted. You know, we may have had barriers and other things that we were doing, but we really didn't get any resistance from student or staff or parents, for that matter. And another thing is just really the coalition and the stakeholders, they really do play a critical role in throughout the entire process. And the more you involve them in your process, I think the better your outcome is going to be. So I just want to share with you some of the next steps. The school is looking to do some additional advertising to the students, kind of look where they can have opportunities to show them these apples are from this farm and these bananas are from here, to just try to get them engaged and try to get them, again, the whole goal: eat more fruits and vegetables, behavior change, lower obesity rates. It starts at something simple. So we actually we helped them out by giving a survey tool to the students in all the health classes. So I have about 400 surveys sitting on my desk right now waiting to be analyzed about what else that they want to see in the schools and in the salad bars. And it's interesting, the health classes were actually for the high school students. And so you sometimes think that elementary students, you know, they might not know some of the fruits and vegetables. And so you wonder what high school students want. These kids want pomegranates and mangoes and broccoli and asparagus. And they really do know what all of these fruits and vegetables are. So it's we're past the knowledge. Now we got to get it to access. So again, the whole goal for the schools are to try to integrate more choices at the salad bars and more choices on the menu as well. And the other story I want to share with you is part of their Green Garden Club. So there are these students who got together and they decided that they wanted to provide healthy snacks for during school and after school events. And they used this green cart that we purchased for them. And it's a refrigerated green cart. And it allows them to, you know, carry cheese or yogurt or things like that and provide it to the students who may not want Doritos at, you know, a certain point in time. And all of the proceeds for this go to run, go to their community garden. And so the community garden actually started, again, with this wonderful teacher in the Family and Consumer Sciences class who had all of her students read this book called Seed Folks. And it's like 70 pages, and it's really about this urban community who turns this empty parking lot into a garden and a community space. And that really hit home with our students. And so from there, the idea of a community garden stemmed, and this will be the first year that they're going to be growing some of those vegetables. And hopefully the goal would be to add some of them to the lunch, you know, maybe in the spring, early summer, right before they break out for school. As I promised, the implementation guide is the first link on here. So if you go to our Healthy Orange website, you can find it on there. In addition to that, the CDC Strategic Alliance for Health also has it on their website. There were a number of counties in New York State who received funding, as well as around the country as well. So if you go to CDC's website or if you Google in there, you'll be able to find the implementation guide. And these are just some of the other places that might be interesting. Farmtoschool.org, really helpful. The USDA guide that's in there for people in the Northeast. Sometimes, you know, it's a little bit different without here in California, have a much better climate than we do. They have a Cornell Cooperative Extension, has a great website as well. And I just want to acknowledge all of the people that made the presentation, not only the presentation, but the program possible, who continued with it and still work with it today. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Excellent presentations. We have a few minutes for questions. But before we start with questions and answers, I just wanted to let you know that the Community Health Planning and Policy Development section actually sponsored this session. And we invite you, now that you've sat for 90 minutes, to walk over to the exhibit hall. We have pedometers available, and they're really great. They have clocks on them, and they're easy to set. And you can monitor your steps for the next day. Do we have any questions for our excellent panel? You look like you have a question. Anyone? Any last words from our panel? Okay, well, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Yes, we have, on the website, we have individual sheets. They're not exactly the brochure that I brought, but you just go to clevelandclinic.org/5to-go, and we have, it's kind of like a marketing sheet, I call it. It's part of our portfolio, and it has one on each program. So there's one for Fetus Knowledge, one for Healthy Futures, and so forth. But you can get my card, and I can send you a PDF of it as well.
And I think the lady in the green sweater.
So we're in the process of developing the evaluation process for all of that. Right now, the criteria, so the criteria are set through the actual menus. We don't really change what's being offered completely. Just the food that's being served meet the limits in sugar, limit in fat and calories. So pretty much a lot of the school systems were actually pretty much meeting the criteria already. It was just a few tweaks. So there hasn't, one of the things that we were kind of waiting on too was the USDA guideline changing, because we know, and the food service directors have brought that up, that they think that some of the children are putting more food on the plate. They're waiting to see how the program was going to be implemented and start monitoring that. So we're in the process of looking into that.
Anyone else? No? Well, thank you very much for attending.